Our text today is found in Esther chapter 2, beginning at verse 12, down through verse 17. Listen to the word of God if it's possible for you to do so. Now when every maid's turn was come to go into the king Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months according to this manner of the women, for so were the days of their purification set forth, even 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of the women. Then thus came every maiden unto the king, whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned unto the second house of the women, to the custody of Shashgaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Hegai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto the king Ahasuerus into his house royal in the 10th month, which is a month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Our subject today is the strictness of God's salvation. The reason I'm bringing you this kind of a message is because of the fact that there are different kinds of so-called salvation in the religious world at this hour. We find this is set forth in the New Testament especially. And let me give you a couple examples, if I may. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, if you will. And then we're going to read verses 1 through 4, and then verses 13 and 14. Listen to the Word of God, or follow along in your Bible, if you possibly can. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and look at what it says, beginning at verse 1, down through verse 4. I hope you have your Bibles ready, and if you can't do it, just listen carefully, if you will. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and endear bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might bear well with him. Then in verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself also is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Here you have an example of false teachers, and then I want you to notice, coupled with that, there comes a false gospel. Listen again, if you will. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. Listen to it. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now what do you have here? All right, we're living in this time when people will not endure sound doctrine. And we find there's false teachers and a false gospel. And then also, I want you to notice something else. Coupled with that, there are false converts or members. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, we read, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanded to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. All right? Here you have false converts. Now turn again, if you will, to 2 Peter, and we find in chapter 2, the Word of God brings this out also, and we have it set forth. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now why do I tell you this? People today seem to think that anything goes with regard to God's salvation. My friend, God's salvation is a strict salvation. And we better understand that very clearly. There's different kinds of salvation seen in the New Testament, as I brought them up. Those we find, there's false teachers, a false gospel, a false convert, and then are also false churches. Now you say, preacher, what are you talking about? Can we find false churches in the New Testament? We most certainly can. So you take your Bibles, if you will, and you turn to Revelation chapter 2, and I'll show you a false church or two that are set forth in this portion of the Word of God. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 18, we read, "And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are fine brass. I know thy works, and thy love, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Nevertheless, or notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds." Now what do you have here? You have a false church at the close of the age. And we are living in that age at this present hour. Turn again to Revelation chapter 3, if you will, and look at verse 14. "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. And I'll tell you where the Lord Jesus Christ is. Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me." In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ was outside of that false church. And are you listening? There's many of those at this present hour. Now, why do I tell you this? Because God's salvation is a strict salvation. And you and I better understand that. And we find in today's preaching, here are the ingredients that are missing. Number one, repentance. Very seldom do you hear any messages on repentance. If a preacher will preach repentance, he'll only say, well, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish, and he goes on. He never describes it and the strictness of it. Secondly, there's no Holy Spirit conviction. And we find very clearly, no man can confess Jesus is Lord but through the Holy Ghost. And so we find this is set forth in today's preaching. There's no repentance, no Holy Spirit conviction, and then coupled with it, there's no sanctification of life. Now you say, preacher, what are you talking about? When God saves a person, that individual becomes a different individual, whether you recognize it or not. We don't hold on to the old things that we had before we got converted, and many of them are doing at this present hour. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3 we read, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit." Now I'm going to ask you a question. What about your church, my friend, at this hour? Are you going there? These are set forth. No sanctification of life, no repentance, no Holy Spirit conviction. And are you listening? The lack of these things, or these ingredients, leave the individual unacceptable before the Lord God of heaven. And we're going to bring that out now in a moment or two that are left with regard to Esther. So go back with me, if you will, Esther chapter 2. And I want to show you again the strictness of God's salvation as it's set forth in this portion of the Word of God. Esther chapter 2. And I want you to notice, if you will, we find in Matthew 27 and verse 23, when we don't have these things, we are unacceptable before the Lord God of heaven. Because not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. And we find in the parable of the 10 virgins, you have 5 virgins that are wise and 5 that are foolish. But are you listening? They were all in the same category, were they not? They were all slumbering and sleeping until the coming of the Lord God of heaven. And when the coming of the Lord God of heaven took place, we find only those that had oil in their lamps, which is a symbol of God the Holy Spirit, only those were ready to meet the Lord. And the same thing is going on at this present hour. Now someone might say, now, preacher, can you find all this in the book of Esther? Yes, I can. So take your Bibles and go back with me, if you will, to Esther chapter 2, and you look with me at verse 8. Listen to it. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, when many maidens were gathered together under Shushan the palace to the custody of Hegai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house to the custody of Hegai, keeper of the women. Now what do we have here, all right? Many maidens were called. Then look again, we find every one of them. They were given certain things because we see very clearly the maidens were given these ingredients to purify themselves and so on and make themselves acceptable before the king. But now listen carefully, if you will. Look at verse 12, if you will. Now when every maid's turn was come to go into King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purification accomplished, even 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, with other things for the purifying of the women. Now listen. Then thus came every maid unto the king, whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women into the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned unto the second house of the women to the custody of Shashgaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and she were called by name. Now what do you have here? I want you to notice. These maidens were called, all right? Each one stood before the king. The things taken by the maidens made them unacceptable unto the king, because we found, then thus came every maiden unto the king, whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. And are you listening? These things were unacceptable, and we find it made the individual unacceptable. Setting forth very clearly, if an individual is ever going to get converted, I'll tell you right now, we have to have that which is bestowed upon us by God the Holy Spirit, or we will not be acceptable before the Lord God of heaven. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know what I'm talking about? Has the Lord God of heaven accepted you? Because you see, my friend, salvation is not so much the sinner accepting Christ as it is Christ Jesus accepting the sinner. And remember, we are accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. But now I want you to notice, if you will, notice the difference with regard to Esther. In Esther chapter 2, and we find in verse 15, now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Hegai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. What do you have here, my friend? Here you have the Esther being accepted by the king because of the what? Because of the ingredients that Hegai, the king's chamberlain, had told her to take. Now listen, what are you talking about? Are you listening very carefully? Hegai here was the keeper of the women, but he's a picture of God, the Holy Spirit. The only items that the Lord God of heaven will accept are those which he bestows upon the individual. And what are they? I'll give you the two of them, if you will. Repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have to ask ourselves this question. Have we repented before the Lord God of heaven? If we have, we are always in the method of repentance, my friend, not to obtain salvation, but because we are saved, because we do not want to destroy our fellowship with the Lord God of heaven. All right, now listen again. The only items that were accepted by the king were the items that Hegai had given to Esther. She obtained favor and grace in the eyes of his king, so that he made her the queen. All right? Now the same thing takes place at this present hour. You may rest in your religion. You may rest in baptism. You may rest in speaking in tongues. You may rest in joining the church. You may rest in every other thing. But my friend, if you have not repented towards God and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll tell you right now, you will not be accepted before the Lord unless these items are given to you. Now, the wonderful thing about it is this. Listen now. All these items were given to Esther by Hegai, the king's chamberlain. He knew exactly what the king would accept. And are you listening? When God, the Holy Spirit, starts to deal with an individual, he knows exactly what the Lord God of heaven will give the individual to make that person acceptable in the sight of God. Now, that's not works, my friend. It's the work of God, the Holy Spirit, that has to be wrought in the heart and life of the individual. And I'll go on record today, and I'll tell you right now, the majority of our religious people today have never come the way of salvation. And remember, there's no other way but the way that God has appointed. And what are they? It's repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And this comes about by God, the Holy Spirit. And it comes about because by the God, the Holy Spirit, we are what? We are taught the ways of God. Now you say, preacher, what are you talking about? All right, in John chapter 6 and verse 44 and 5, we find these things set forth for our learning. Listen again, if you will. Notice what it says. No man can come to me except my Father which has sent me draw him. Now listen again. Are you listening? Well, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. And are you listening? The only ingredients of the Lord God of heaven will accept our repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I emphasize that because I want you to notice the Lord Jesus Christ did the same thing on his last message to the apostles. Listen to what he said, if you will. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now listen to these words. And ye are witnesses of these things. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know what I'm talking about? Has the Lord God of heaven ever stopped by your heart's door, singled you out, and then the Holy Spirit of God was dealing with you in conviction? And what happened? You saw yourself as God sees you, and you know what? The Lord God of heaven, at the same time, what did he do? He was giving you both repentance and faith to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, God says very clearly, every man has to repent. It's a command of God, and God will only accept those who have repented and also those who have come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. All through the Scripture, you find examples of individuals who have tried to come a different way than God's way, but my friend, it's not going to work. There's only one way, and that's the way that the Lord God of heaven has appointed, because there's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now, why do I tell you these things? Because so many people today are so glib with regard to their salvation. Salvation is a wonderful experience between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you right now, the Bible tells us very clearly, examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. And then we find also 2 Peter chapter 1, and we find verses 10 and 12. The Scripture tells us again these marvelous truths. Listen again to the Word of God as I give it to you. 2 Peter chapter 1, and look at verse 10 and 12. Listen to it. Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance will be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it necessary, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And my hope is that I've done so today in the message at this hour. Do you know the Lord Jesus? Oh, I hope and pray that you do. My time is gone. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Nortier of the Mercies of God saying goodbye for now. And oh, may the Lord spare you before it's too late.